I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we will have the first of our conversations with Indianapolis's mayoral candidates. Today we will talk with Democrat Melina Kennedy about her plans for the city. We will talk with her about schools, about streets, about crime, about the past, and the future of this city. You can join the conversation. Please call us toll-free at 1-866-476-3881, email us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter. If you want to ask the woman who might be Indianapolis's next mayor a question, this is your chance. I hope you take it. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking today, having the first of our conversations with the candidates for mayor of Indianapolis. Today we are talking with Democrat Melina Kennedy. On October 20th, we'll be sitting down with the Republican candidate, Greg Ballard. We are eager to take your calls. Please call us at 1-866-476-3881. Send an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. There are really, if you're a challenger to an incumbent in a race, there are really sort of two stages that you have, two arguments you have to make. The first is making an argument about why the incumbent should be replaced, and then the second part, obviously, is making the argument about why you should be the replacement. Let's start first with a boiled-down version of what you think the argument is for replacing Greg Ballard right now, at least the things that you think he's taken the city in the wrong direction on.
Well, I think there are a number of things, but in the interest of kind of boiling it down, first is just the basic results. Again, it's not personal, but this is about the future of our city. We're in a place where the city's lost 30,000 plus jobs over the last few years, where aggravated assaults, which are things like a shooting on a trail, are up 10% since 2007, and where we continue to have parents who are really worried about education in Indianapolis. And those are the facts. But on top of that, what we've seen with Mayor Ballard in his leadership style is that he's made numerous promises on his campaign. And when you're up for re-election, it's time for people to see, have you kept those promises? And he's broken nearly every major promise he made. Everything
such
from
as
the smoking ban, he promised in writing. In fact, to someone who sadly lost his spouse to lung cancer, he promised in writing on the campaign he would fully embrace and support a comprehensive smoking ban, then got elected and turned around and said, no more, I'm changing my mind. And a number of other issues. He promised to put 750 more officers on the streets. We now have less. He promised to repeal fully the county option income tax, which he continues to cash every year. And it just goes on and on. And I think at the end of the day, voters, when they go to the polls and they vote for someone and they make promises, if they're up for re-election and they haven't kept those promises, they should not remain in office.
We are talking with Melina Kennedy, Democratic candidate for mayor of Indianapolis. Amy, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thank you, John. Very well.
You've got a question, I think, that's right on point here.
It is. I'm extremely concerned about us being on the world stage for the Super Bowl next year and not having a smoking ban. I think that, you know, I agree with the, you know, I'm very disappointed with the lack of leadership with Mayor Ballard on that. And I just hope that if should Ms. Kennedy become the mayor, if that could be an act she could get through prior to the February game.
Good question. Thank you for calling in.
And I think that's possible. Sometimes people will ask me, what are some of the things you think you can accomplish in the short term as mayor? And I think that's one that is ready to go. It just takes some leadership and commitment to the issue. And I think it's important. And I think Amy raises a very good point that having it in place for the Super Bowl would be very important.
Are you making a pledge to do that? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I am very clearly on record saying that I plan to fully support a comprehensive smoking ban, and that one of the first things I'll do after elected is work with the council to get that done.
And how optimistic are you about being able to do that is the other question.
I'm optimistic. I know Mayor Ballard, one of the reasons he cites for breaking his promise on this is that he's not sure, quote unquote, whether or not he could get the council. Well, that takes leadership. And the councilors, and there are many Republicans and Democrats alike who support a comprehensive smoking ban, but it's harder for them when the mayor hides behind a curtain and doesn't take leadership on this. I plan to, and I believe even as a candidate, have led and will lead and champion this issue. And I think that certainly will make it a lot easier for councilors. But I'm very optimistic. I think this is absolutely doable. And I think it's very important for our city.
What would be your first priority when you took office? What would you...
Jobs. I mean, we need to, if I'm elected, you know, immediately we'll want to bring together people in the business community who understand the climate here, understand what are the needs, both from a training standpoint so that businesses can grow, but also what are the low-hanging fruit opportunities. I've also said, you know, education is a huge issue in this community, and I'm sure we'll come back to that later in this program. But in terms of things, since you asked the question more along the lines of what can you do right away, I believe convening the business community and really making sure we're doing what we can when it comes to jobs will be one of the first orders.
And what do you think we do need to do about jobs other than pull people together to talk?
Well, I've put forth a very specific plan on my my vision for growing the economy here, and it centers around four principles. First, promoting small businesses, and we talked about that on the show a few months ago when I was here, but I am a small business owner. I do believe the way forward in Indianapolis is to focus on the existing small businesses and helping them grow. One of the first things that I would want to do that I have in my plan is take a look, a top-to-bottom review of how small businesses currently do business with the city and make sure that the city is not a barrier and a drag, as I've heard from so many small businesses that I've talked to along the campaign trail. But also helping forge more relationships between existing businesses who have expertise and business leaders who are willing to help mentor other businesses. My husband and I own a small business, and we have really benefited. It's been in more of an informal way, but from some of the relationships we've developed with other business owners who have had longer experience in doing things that our business hasn't done over time, and have really benefited from just some basic one-on-one mentoring, so to speak. And so I'd like to help facilitate that as mayor, and I think the mayor has a very good role to play in that regard. Secondly, job training. It's a really sad irony in this country, but also in this city, where we see businesses. In fact, I was visiting one earlier today that have the capacity to hire, but training is a barrier for them. And what a sad irony when you're talking about families who are out there today who need a job, but they don't have the skills. So I really want to step up the efforts of the city agency that deals with job training and workforce development and better tie them with a business community to make sure that we have the best match that we can. Those are a few of the things. There's a very long literally multiple page detailed plan on my jobs plan that was developed with both Republican and Democratic business leaders who have experience, who stood with me when I announced my jobs plan, because it's not a political issue. And I feel very, very confident that with leadership in the mayor's office and bringing together others in the community who have experience in business, there are some good things we can do in this city in shorter order.
We are talking with Democratic candidate for mayor Melina Kennedy today on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881 or sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question. First of all, thank you, Ms. Kennedy, for running for mayor.
Thank you.
And secondly, given the unfortunate negative publicity from the Indianapolis Police Department, if you are in fact elected, will you retain Frank Straub?
Good question. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. That's a good question. No, that I would not. And again, it's not personal. It's just that as I look over the last few years, I feel there's been not effective or ineffective leadership from the top levels of public safety, and that includes Director Straub. You know, a good example, well, an unfortunate example, but an example that highlights this is what now the city is facing, a lawsuit. There were three command officers who are on the scene in the tragic and absolutely tragic Bizard matter, who were called off the scene by Director Straub to attend a meeting that, and with out-doubt certainly wasn't at the level of importance of what was happening at that moment, a meeting that was about his public image. And they left the scene because their boss told them to. Instead of taking responsibility for that and acknowledging that that was not probably a good priority, he demoted them for leaving the scene. And that, to me, is not leadership. And that leaves the hardworking police officers who are doing a great job every day feeling a little left behind. And I think that was confusing to the public. So that's one of the reasons. But secondly, I don't agree with a lot of the strategies. I really believe in community policing. My crime plan, which is endorsed by the sheriff and the prosecutor, really centers around community policing and having as many officers out in the community as possible. And that's something that under Director Straub and Mayor Ballard, we've gone away from over the last few years. So that I would not keep him as public safety director. And again, that's absolutely not personal. I don't know him personally. It's just I don't think he's the right person for that position.
What you probably don't want to name a person that you would put into that.
But has the right experience, someone who has a good vision and plan, and someone who is able to gain the confidence, but also the respect of the hardworking policemen and women, and police men and women officers every single day. And I say confidence and respect because there will surely be times, and there should be times, where leadership in public safety is not going to agree with the street officers, and that's okay, but there needs to be confidence in each other, and there needs to be respect. And I think that has broken down to a level that's just not repairable.
Well, I guess when I say profile, are you looking for somebody who's come through the ranks here, or would you, you know, would you do a nationwide search? I mean, how would you go about filling that position?
Well, I think that, as in any other position, I certainly wouldn't exclude. I wouldn't exclude anyone. And I guess I'm an optimist that we have a large city, 860,000 some people, that we can find an awful lot of talent here if we're willing to look hard. But the qualities would include experience, and I think certainly understanding how things work here is a benefit. But I wouldn't exclude it to only people who are here, for example. I just think that I'm optimistic that there are people right here with great talent.
We're getting a raft of email questions. I'm going to take one right now from Brian Swearingen. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that name right. It says, "Candidate Kennedy, in light of recent events, of the state fair tragedy, where do you stand on gay rights, and do you believe that Indiana should recognize gay marriages that were performed in other states?"
Well, the whole state fair tragedy is so sad, and I know our community is going to be healing for a long time, and I think it was just heart-wrenching, the scenario in that case where one of the partners was having trouble going to see their loved one. And so that causes me concern. I understand that has been worked out, but the fact that that was even an issue bothers me. I think our city needs to be open for business for everyone, and put it that way, and welcoming. And I was disappointed, and I was public in my disappointment with the legislature last year trying to legislate into the Constitution prohibiting gay marriage. I think that was a wedge issue that really is counterproductive to what our state should look like and our city. And I was very vocal about that, and I'm disappointed. And I think the mayor of Indianapolis, the largest city, should send the message that this is a welcoming city, that we don't discriminate, including based on sexual orientation. And that's just something that I feel personally, but also as mayor, I think is an important perspective.
So would you support gay civil unions then, and recognizing unions that are performed in other states here?
Well, that's something that's probably not necessarily on my top priority as a mayor. I mean, I'll be honest about that. And I have a lot of friends that you know, are in the LGBT community. And when I talk to them about their priorities, they tend to be similar to all the priorities of other people in this community: jobs, education, crime, which is what I'll focus on. But I can tell you that I won't tolerate, and I will be vocal in opposing any kind of overt legislation that sends the message that community's not welcome here.
We are talking today on No Limits with the Democratic candidate for mayor, Melina Kennedy. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Please stay with us. I'm John Kroll. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking today with the Democratic candidate for mayor, Melina Kennedy. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. You mentioned in the first segment that education was going to be one of your top priorities. We've gotten some questions about that, so I think I'm going to try to weave this segment into that. One of them comes from a woman named Lisa in Indianapolis and says, Ms. Kennedy, will you support or overturn the state takeover of IPS schools? Many good teachers will be losing their jobs due to the takeover. Are you going to create new education jobs for them?
Well, the law that was passed that has been implemented to, execute, if that's the right word, the state takeover, I think it would probably be hard to overturn that, understanding what the legislature looks like today. But my role and what I would want to do as mayor, and I think, frankly, should be being done right now and should have been done in the past, is to do everything that the city can to wrap around those schools and make sure that those schools have access to whatever the city can do to be supportive for the families, the students, obviously, first and foremost. I will say on the issue of education, I'm a business owner, was a deputy mayor in economic development. I'm not an educator. And so on this campaign, what I decided to do was reach out and talk to teachers and principals and superintendents and school social workers, and spent many months doing that so that I could hear from them, those that are actually in the classroom. And many of them said, frankly, they've never really been asked what the biggest challenge is. And what came back to me loud and clear is early childhood education, and that we need a mayor and a state that really steps up and commits to this issue. And so the reason that I tell you that is, that's really going to be my primary focus in terms of what my role, if I'm mayor, can be in helping make our school a place where kids are more likely to succeed. And that helps teachers, and that helps other school officials, and it helps the students, which is the biggest issue and my biggest concern.
A lot of mayors in the past 40 years have sort of taken a hands-off approach to education in this city and seen it as, you know, they don't have the real authority to change anything, so they see it as all risk and no gain. How much can a mayor actually do to improve the quality of public education?
Well, I certainly take a different perspective in terms of whether the mayor should be engaged. And every time I hear Mayor Ballard say that the mayor doesn't really have a role, my response is, that's the problem. The mayor needs to be engaged. I'm the first mayoral candidate, I believe, at least what I've been told, that has put forth a very specific early childhood education commitment and plan. And my plan is a 10-year vision, my 2021 vision, to invest every year for 10 years in an actual generation of children to try to be sure that we are having our kids come to school at the earliest of ages prepared. And again, that's what I heard from the people who are in the classrooms, the teachers, the superintendents, the principals, parents, and others. I believe it's the right thing, but the numbers also are compelling. We know that for every $1 invested in early childhood education, we see a $7 return to our community. We know from numerous studies that kids that have even a limited exposure to quality preschool and early childhood education are 4 times more likely to graduate from high school. And we know kids that don't graduate from high school are eight times more likely to end up in jail. So the numbers are compelling. I'm so glad on the campaign I took the time to go out and talk to those in education and listen. I don't think we do enough of that sometimes in this community. And I'm putting my chips in and am committed to really, really moving forward with true early childhood education, at least in this city.
David, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. I understand you got a question about education.
I do, although, Ms. Kennedy, I think you probably already answered it with your early childhood education program. I was wanting to know, with the various programs that we have seen introduced, No Child Left Behind, and the introduction of charter schools and so on, if you, in fact, had a specific plan in mind that would address some of the disparity between IPS and some of the other, shall we say, more suburban schools, and, you know, something that would redress that balance.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you. And that is a good question. And some of the federal policies I'll have less of influence on, of course, as a mayor. So I've really tried to look at what kinds of things could I do as mayor directly. I'm not a sit on the sidelines kind of person. And I really do believe in, and David, thanks for your question. And I think you are correct that it is going to relate back to what I've talked to a bunch about already on this program, but would love to talk even further about, which is early childhood education. This is an area, our city's not where it needs to be. We have some quality programs, but they don't reach the scale because they don't have the support. And they need it so that they can reach more kids. So more kids will be more likely to graduate and have a successful future and opportunity for their families.
We've gotten a Twitter question that says a big problem with schools is the lack of participation from parents, mm-hmm. basically. Is there a way to address that?
And that is a huge issue. And I've been talking to parents as well. There are some new things that some of the school districts are putting forth that I'm optimistic. Parent University is one of the more recent examples. But also making sure that schools and the community that's involved in education, to whatever extent they are also sensitive. One of the things that came up in one of my teachers' roundtables was that these test scores that are sent home, some parents can't read them. And so it's hard to engage them. And that's a reality. We need to face that. And so I know the schools are, and I think IPS in particular with the Parent University is trying to address that. So I guess part of it is trying to make sure that available and accessible as possible for parents to be involved. Now, there are going to be many times where parents aren't for whatever reason. And that's where committing to some of the crime prevention initiatives that the city has committed to that help provide mentorships and other things. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, for example, Starfish Initiative, other great mentoring programs, I think can be very helpful for some of those families and kids who are falling through the cracks.
When you talk about Indianapolis public schools, obviously, they, as we've seen from some of these questions, they feel somewhat under siege these days, the folks who are in that school system. What, other than developing, you know, an early childhood education program, could be done right now to bolster and support the Indianapolis public schools, A, so they perform better, and B, so that the morale there is a little bit better?
That's a really good question. In my education, I talk so much about early childhood education because I do think that's the biggest. But I have many other planks of my education platform. Some of it is simple, and it's regular communication and leadership by the city. For example, the mayor should meet regularly, at least on a quarterly basis, with all of the superintendents together. That used to happen under the former administration and then stopped under the current administration. And not that that's a be-all, end-all, but just having regular communication so the city can be aware of what ways they may be able to partner with all of the school districts, not just IPS. Secondly, helping promote bringing innovation to Indianapolis. Teach for America is a good example. That's something that not every city has, and Indianapolis was thoughtful in developing a vision to bring that here and then went after it. And so helping promote innovation here. And then lastly, the mayor is in a perfect position to use his or her bully pulpit when it comes to education and really highlighting some of the good successes. And we have many. We have challenges, and we can't hide from those. So mm-hmm. to be clear about that, we can't. But there are some great things happening. School 84 being recognized as the best magnet school in the whole country. I mean, this is one of our IPS schools. That's fantastic. Some of the exciting things that are happening in Lawrence schools with early childhood education there. There are just a number of things happening. And so, you know, the mayor's got to be telling the story of the good things as well. And that ties to the mayor also trying to educate some of those people and organizations that tend to talk about education a lot and influence parents' decisions. And one area in particular is realtors, making mm-hmm. sure they have access to current information on school choices so that as they're selling families on different neighborhoods or different cities, in some cases beyond Indianapolis, that they have access to the right information that could get people excited about the schools where we have some great things to say.
You were talking just a second ago, and you emphasized the mayor mm-hmm. should use his bully or her, and emphasized in that fashion. Do you spend a lot of time thinking about the fact that you'll be the first woman if you're elected to be mayor and what that would mean?
I have to say, I personally don't think a lot about it, but every now and then it's something that it will come up. And then when I step back and think about it, I think that's great for the city. I certainly am not running on gender, but we haven't done that before as a city. I know my daughter cracks me up because she has said a few times that I'd be the first quote-unquote girl mayor, and that still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a good thing for the city, but by no means would I want to suggest that I'm running because of gender or that that's my qualification. I just think that'd be positive for the city.
Well, and the other thing that maybe because you've been a deputy mayor and you've been involved in city government for quite a while, I've noticed in listening to you, you spend a lot of time talking about the mayor in the third person. Is it going to be an odd transition to start thinking of that in the first person?
That would be. I have to admit, that would be odd. But we'll get there if we get there. So,
Don, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Don. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Nice to hear your views on this, Kennedy.
Thank you.
Very very interesting and very informative. I guess my question, to take a right angle turn here, would be we have a fantastic resource in the White River that flows right through the middle of town and through a lot of the suburbs. And I would be interested in knowing what your plans are of improving the condition of the White River and what you would do to enhance it to make it more more of a tourist attraction for the incoming visitors and used by our residents.
I love that question. I really do, because I've often thought about and have been thinking about what a huge asset that is. And we need to take care of it. But we also need to showcase it. You know, we have a number of incredible arts and cultural organizations that abut up against the White River. And it really is an under-noticed and underutilized asset that we need to take care of. Now, there's some good organizations out there that really work hard. I believe Friends of the White River is one, for example. But I think the mayor and the mayor's office can and should be engaged in that issue and not only, again, highlighting it and making it more visible and more of an asset, but also making sure we take care of it.
You mentioned the arts organization. We've gotten a question from a listener, Jim, from Indianapolis. He says, one of the few issues I have with Mayor Ballard's administration and the Republican-dominated city-county council is the significant cuts in arts-related funding. Would Ms. Kennedy reverse this trend? And if so, how would she find new funding sources for Indy's arts community? Two-part question.
Sure. Arts and cultural attractions, not only the institutions, but the people, and promoting entrepreneurialism within that world is really important for our city's economic health. There's plenty of studies that tell us, if anybody needs any confirmation, that the economic impact of the arts on our city is very strong. But it's also a quality of life issue. I've been very disappointed to see the consistent reduction in support. And in the past, some of the support has come through the Convention and Visitors, the CIB operation. That's been cut more recently. And to me, it seems that we can find the resources. If we can find resources for a scoreboard or whatnot, we can find resources through that same process to support the arts. And I think it's very important. I also think there's a bit of a missed opportunity where we haven't really tied some of the current crime prevention grants that are within the city's budget to some of the arts education initiatives that are happening now. There's a really strong tie between arts and school performance, kids' performance in schools, and crime prevention. And that's something that I'd like to further look into. But I'm committed to the arts, not just because I personally like the arts and think that's important, because that's not really what's relevant, what I personally think, but I think it's important for the community and our economic viability and our high quality of life that we need to have to continue to be a competitive city.
We are talking with Democratic candidate for mayor Melina Kennedy here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Your question?
Yeah. Ms. Kennedy, I've heard you talk about a 10-year vision for the city, and I think you call it Vision 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what it means in terms of economic development and jobs? Because I think, you know, when we look at unemployment, everybody in the city knows somebody who's out of a job. So if you could talk a little bit about how your vision, I think it's a 10-year vision you've talked about, how that relates to jobs and creating jobs. I think that's something people want to talk about.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. I want to start with my 2021 vision is a 10-year vision. In 10 years, our city is going to be 200 years old, which I think is kind of exciting. We'll be celebrating our bicentennial. And at that point in time, I think we'll look back and really think about what decisions have we made over time. To me, and your question sounded like it was aimed primarily at jobs, creating economic growth and jobs in this city is directly tied to three things: economic development, crime, because people will not move here and they won't move their businesses here if they feel safe, and education. If we don't have a workforce that's skilled and ready for these jobs, our businesses can't grow. And so my 10-year 2021 vision really invests in a generation of people when it comes to jobs and economic development. And as I talked a little earlier on the program, a major focus on existing small businesses and promoting entrepreneurs to grow jobs here. Secondly, job training, because our businesses can't grow here. We can't create more jobs if we don't have the people to fill those jobs that have the right training. And then last but not least, education, both because families will skip over Indianapolis if they feel they don't have good options here and will lose base here, but also because that is the way to prepare the workforce from the earliest of ages to be ready to help our businesses that are here and will be here into the future grow.
Got an email question from a listener named Andy Peralta that's really, it's about passenger rail transit mm-hmm. system. And from what I can tell, is there any potential for using any of our rail trails, Monon, Pennsylvania, Cool Creek, be reclaimed as an active transit way? Because I think there are some right-of-way and easement issues that have clogged that process. And closes by saying, in other words, are these trails fair game for using in our transit network?
Well, that's a really good question. I don't know from a technical standpoint. There's a very comprehensive study that's in the process of being completed, where they actually have hired engineers and folks who know this from a technical standpoint that I would want to rely on their expertise, called IndyConnect. And my guess is the caller may be aware of that, but www.indyconnect.org. And they, my understanding is that the plan is changing. It's not final yet, but they have been looking at specifically where transit, both from a technical but also from a moving people point-to-point standpoint, can go. And so I would recommend taking a look at that.
We are talking with Democratic candidate for mayor Melina Kennedy here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking today, Democratic candidate for mayor, Melina Kennedy. I knew I was going to screw that up at some point during the hour.
Sounds fine.
You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Tim, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my question.
Certainly.
Mayor Bell currently is attempting to implement a plan to demolish 2,000 homes, mostly in the downtown, And we hope that Ms. Kennedy has a better solution. Could we hear her discuss how she would deal with this?
Yes, good question. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. It is a good question. We know that there are thousands and thousands of homes in Indianapolis that are in disrepair, that are magnets for crime and eyesores in neighborhoods, many more than 2,000. And what I'd like to see out of the administration, and I don't think we've seen when it comes to a demolition plan, is more thought and input from the neighbors and the organizations that have knowledge about which homes are really should be targeted, because there's just no hope, and they should be taken down, because believe me, there are plenty of those. But what I've observed from going to numerous neighborhood meetings recently over the course of not too long ago is that in many cases, these neighborhoods haven't been consulted, or they were consulted at the very last minute with long lists, you know, basically presented to them of here are the homes that are coming down. And it was developed in a very top-down fashion rather than what I believe is the right way, which is more of a grassroots-up fashion. Because rehabbing homes, which is an important strategy, oftentimes is much more environmentally sound. And, of course, when you have any kind of potential historic implication, it's always great to be able to retain that. And so for those reasons, it doesn't make sense to not include the neighborhood and not have a more grassroots up. And the concern that I have is that the mayor's been in office almost 4 years now. And so to after having 4 years to plan rush lists that need to be approved within days is not the strategy I'd want to see.
We are talking with Democratic candidate for mayor, Melina Kennedy. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881 or sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Kendra, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Your question.
Yes, I was just wondering, due to the recent increase in the violence of our city, I was wondering what Ms. Kennedy planned to do to help it and, like, make it better.
Good question.
That is a good question.
Thank you.
Safety and public safety is one of the planks of my campaign, and I think we've been missing the mark under the current administration. As I mentioned earlier, aggravated assaults are up every year since 2007, overall by 10%. I have a very specific plan to address public safety and crime. My plan was endorsed by both the sheriff and the prosecutor, and I was also proud to recently earn the endorsement of the Fraternal Order of Police, who actually dropped their endorsement of Mayor Ballard's community policing, where you really have as many officers out so that officers get to know their neighbors and neighbors get to know their officers. Secondly, attacking illegal guns and making sure that we get them out of the hands of criminals. And I'm talking about illegal guns, so I'm not, you know, I'm just fine with the Second Amendment. I respect that. But this is people who have a criminal history who should not have a gun in the first place. And then last, but certainly not least, really committing to crime prevention, another broken promise, in my opinion, by Mayor Ballard, who has substantially scaled back the commitment the city was supposed to make to crime prevention so that we can get those kids who are falling through the cracks and help prevent crime before it happens, both for the overall health of those kids and their future, but, of course, for the safety of this community. So I'm very confident in my crime plan. Our city has got to be safe for our city to reach its full potential, and we just need to do better than we're doing now.
We've gotten an email question on a subject we haven't touched on yet. It comes from Ann Stack and says, 3 years ago, Republicans and Democrats were advocates of alternative early voting sites. For the last 2 years, Republicans have shut down early voting sites. What is your position?
My position is an excellent question, by the way, so thank you. It's very clear. We should commit to early voting sites. The city has done it before. It was done successfully. I am very disappointed in Mayor Ballard pulling politics on this one. Mayor Ballard supported early voting 2 years ago, but now that he's on the ballot, he does not support it and directed his vote on the election board, the same party, to vote against it, and now we don't have it. And what's really disappointing is there was public testimony on this issue, this very important issue. I went and testified clearly in favor. The NAACP testified in favor. The Central Indiana Council on Aging came in and gave very appealing testimony talking about how our older residents really want this, because it's hard to get to the polls sometimes on Election Day. League of Women Voters, the Urban League, I mean, the list goes on. Mayor Ballard didn't show up to testify, and then his party voted against early voting, and now we won't have it, which I think is just wrong for this city, and I'm very disappointed. That was one of the most political stunts, in my opinion, that the mayor and the Republican Party pulled, and I'm very disappointed.
I'm going to run through. We've gotten a raft of email questions, so I'm going to go right through them here and try to get and then get to a couple of callers. This one comes from Cindy in Indianapolis. What is your vision for parks in Indianapolis? Will you delegate deferred maintenance and capital improvements? Do you have a plan to sustain the important programs offered through parks?
Parks are one of the assets that are, that make our city great. Parks are also an economic development tool. I know my husband and I opened our first business along the Monon Trail, even though it may not otherwise have been the exact strip mall location we would have picked. And so we need to recognize that. I'm committed to parks, and I think one of the ways we can make sure that the parks are receiving as much support as possible is being smart about some of the arrangements that we enter into. I know more recently the city entered into a long-term no-bid contract with an organization or a company at Eagle Creek who will run the shooting range. And the deal was so bad for the city that the city gets no revenue and now will actually charge the sheriff's department to come out and use it. If we are smarter about partnerships, we can bring more resources to the table to address some of the questions Cindy has asked, which are good ones, about maintenance and programs and other things.
We are talking with Democratic candidate for mayor, Melina Kennedy. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881 or sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Another email question comes from Sarah Johnson and asks you to address immigration in Indianapolis, especially mentioning any initiatives that you might make as mayor relating to this issue.
Well, immigration is a very tough issue for our country, and I believe it's a federal issue that we need consistency throughout the country to address, which is why when the state legislature last year was trying to push through a bill that would make this a state issue and basically make it very difficult for any immigrants to be here. I signed the Indiana Compact, which dozens of other Indiana mayors signed as well, to say that this is a federal issue and we need to address this issue. It's a serious issue, but we should address it in a way that is consistent nationally and understands that there are families who are here. And I was really disappointed that while almost every other mayor in the state signed it, Mayor Ballard refused to. It was another example of where we just have no leadership in the current administration.
Gotten a question about I-69. I live on the south side of Indy. It comes from a listener by the name of Kathy. Says, I live on the south side of Indy. And she notes in parentheses, we sometimes feel a little left out. And would like to know if you have an opinion on the impact of building I-69 right through Perry Township.
I have to say, I need to be refreshed on what the actual pattern is going through Perry Township. That is something that I don't have the latest information. I'm not sure if that it's changed, so I'd like to understand that better.
And then the last email question I'm going to take for a second and get to a call is from Scott Avery. Says that I thought that the consolidation of the police department and the sheriff's department was supposed to actually create one consolidated law enforcement agency. But it seems that there are a lot of sheriff's deputies running around with guns and lights and sirens, but without any responsibility to anything except to serve papers and run the jail. What more needs to be done to realize the goals that were originally envisioned in the consolidation?
Well, the consolidation is something that is going to take time to fully execute. It's certainly moving. It has moved forward. I've been very clear that I believe the mayor should retain control. And so there's been some question whether or not there would be a shift back to the sheriff. But I do think that the mayor and the sheriff should be able to work more closely together so that we don't have inconsistent responsibilities.
We are talking with Democratic candidate Melina Kennedy here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Carol, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Your question, please.
My question is, Mayor Ballard has talked about if he continues in the office that he would be expanding bike lanes to about 200 miles over the next 10 years. And expanding cycling infrastructure around Indianapolis and the surrounding areas. And I'm just wondering what your commitment would be to that. as we try to be a more progressive city and attracting people who are looking for greener options.
Good question.
It
Thank
is a great
you for calling.
Question. I'm so glad that came out because I love bike lanes. I'm completely committed to them. I applaud Mayor Ballard for continuing them and growing them. And in the Kennedy administration, you'll see the same commitment. You'll see a commitment and, I think, better leadership on other issues, education, jobs, crime, but we will certainly have the same enthusiasm for bike lanes. But I want to go back to a common theme that I've seen with the administration. It also needs to be done wisely. Bike lanes, you know, are more than just a strip of paint. They need to be maintained so that they're safe. They need to be done right the first time. I don't know because I haven't been able to track this down, but I've heard some concerns about some bike lanes on South Shelby that there may be some concerns about fire trucks being able to get through. And I don't know if that's true, so I'm looking into it, but I just want to be sure that it's done right and thoughtful and that you go beyond just the actual lane itself, but make sure that they're maintained and then really promote a very bicycle-friendly community, which I think is important. And I agree with the caller. Helps make this a healthier and more progressive city.
We are talking about the mayor's race with Democratic candidate for mayor Melina Kennedy. We've gotten a raft of questions about education, which we've already spent a fair amount of time talking about, but some of these are pretty targeted, so I'm going to try to get to them. Brad, I think also from Indianapolis, says you've been critical of Mayor Ballard regarding IPS. What do you think of Eugene White, and would you recommend that he be replaced?
Well, it's not my job to recommend whether he's replaced. That's the board's. But I think he has done some good things, and I think there are things that need to be improved. I think the parent university concept makes sense. I think some of the magnet schools are really off the charts. I referred to School 84 not too long ago, which was just ranked the best magnet school in the whole country. But we also know that the graduation rate isn't where it needs to be. So there are other issues. And so I'm not going to take the liberty to say it's my decision whether he continues. That's the board's decision. But what I'll be doing as mayor, and I've been very clear about, is not sit on the sidelines, but do what I can within my existing authority to help make education more successful for everyone in the city, which is why early childhood education is something that I believe I can do something about in terms of helping increase access is what I'm going to focus on.
This question comes from one of my students, Tim Cox, says, in maintaining success in public schools, what matters more, providing teachers who know what they're teaching and teaching it well, or providing a safe environment free of bullying to allow students more concentration on learning?
They're both hugely important. I mean, we got to go into this issue recognizing we got to do everything we can. So it can't be a one or other proposition.
Ronald, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. We're running up on time, so if you get to the question pretty quickly, I'd appreciate it. Your question?
Oh, hey, Melina, how are you planning to go about, you know, the dropout rate in the high school program?
Well, that's a great sure. The dropout rate is something that we've got to take head on. It's a more than two part, but there are two things in particular. One, a longer term but important approach is making sure kids are prepared at the earliest of ages, because we know the data tells us they're more likely to not drop out if they are equipped at an earlier age to learn and be able to read what they're learning. And then secondly, really committing to the crime prevention that the city was promised, and that includes some of the great initiatives that have helped kids, especially in some of those troubling years where they might fall through the cracks, reach out and be paired with mentors or have access to healthy learning environments and educations.
We've gotten an email question from Richard Vaines, also I think here in Indianapolis, and he says, what will you do to stop the current "we need one more transit study" and move to bring Indianapolis into the 21st century and broaden transit alternatives?
Well, that's something that came up in the debate Mayor Ballard and I were in. He's been talking about the Indy Connect plan he says he created, but it's changed so many times. And I agree with the caller that we need to have the experts and the community look at this. We've studied it to death and have a final plan we can get our head around that we can see and understand what it looks like, what it will cost, what is the economic impact, and then the ultimate goal would be to ask the legislature for the authority to give individuals the right to vote on it.
I'm going to ask sort of a big vision question, and I can give you only about a minute to answer it, unfortunately. But, you know, when we think of mayors in the past, Bill Hudnut obviously was all about rebuilding the downtown, revitalizing the downtown, and going in with public-private partnerships. Steve Goldsmith was about privatizing city services, by and large, those themes. When we look back, if you're elected, when we look back on a Melina Kennedy tenure in the mayor's office, what will your legacy, how will we reduce that to a few words?
My hope is that I'll be the mayor who actually took on an issue that we've known, the facts have been in front of us for a long time, early childhood education, that she stepped up, she had a plan, she did something about it, and really helped a generation of kids be able to succeed.
Is that where you're going to spend your political capital? Should you get elected? I mean, the first thing you're going to try to push through?
Absolutely. I mean, there are many issues. That's one of the things I love about the mayor's office. You cover a lot of issues, but I really believe education and making sure kids are prepared to succeed is a do or die for our city. We got to get it done. And we haven't seen a mayoral candidate put forth a specific proposal on this issue. We know it's important. The teachers, the students, the parents, principals, they tell us this is the issue. I've got a solid plan. I'm excited about it, and I think we can do something great in this regard.
Well, I feel like we did not get nearly as many questions answered as we should. I would like to thank you, Melina Kennedy, for joining us on the program. I hope, should you be elected, that you'll be willing to come back often and talk with us again. I also would like to thank all of our listeners, particularly the ones who either called in or emailed questions. I am sorry we could not get to them all, but the rush was too great. I appreciate you spending this time with us and hope you will join us next week when we will be talking about celebrating science in Indiana. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and the host of No Limits. See you next week.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alsep. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at noon for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m. And you can listen online at WFYI.org.